If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
It's 10:15 and this is Dean Richards Sunday morning on WGN.
Take a whiff on me, that ain't no road.
February 28th, 2021.
Don't have to look and you don't have to see.
Producer Ryan, do you have any idea why I'm playing this song? Because you got the most puzzled look on your face when this came on the air. Any clue?
I immediately looked up who this was.
Yeah.
What song this is.
Dead Skunk.
In the Middle of the Road.
Loudon Wainwright III. This may have been the favorite song of Bob Collins. Robert L., as in lovable, Collins. Morning man here on WGN. Longtime personality. He worked mid-mornings and evenings and afternoons and ultimately became the most listened to radio personality in Chicago when he hosted the morning show here on WGN. All of that tragically ended February of 2000. Bob, a personal private pilot, took his plane out for a ride that morning, and there was a collision, and Bob's plane crashed, and Bob passed away. It was a day that many of us who worked here at WGN will never forget, being behind the scenes, because we knew what had happened, but it hadn't been publicly announced yet. I don't think I'll ever forget what it was like that morning here at WGN, but for Chicago, for people, generations of people who grew up with Uncle Bobby, the serious Uncle Bobby, the silly Uncle Bobby, the compassionate, caring Uncle Bobby. People felt like he was a family member, and people still today are very touched by the death of Bob Collins. We were talking about it back in the newsroom a little bit this morning. Andy, you have a memory of Uncle Bobby. Your first time
yeah,
on his show?
First time doing the morning show for filling in for Dave Ennett. And back in that studio that we used to work out of at the other place across the river,
right,
there was two sets of double doors to get into the studio. So I pushed through the first set of double doors and just took a big deep breath because I knew what I was going to see next.
Right.
And there, sitting behind the board, was Uncle Bobby. Sitting to his left was Orion.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck am I doing here?
Yeah, it's like the Mount Rushmore of broadcasting.
It was intimidating. I mean, yeah, it was really intimidating for the first couple of sportscasts. But, you know, he had an ability to really make you feel like you were part of the show, even if you had just, were filling in. And I had occasion to fill in a few times. And there was one day that I was getting ready to go to Platteville when the Bears were training up there. And he gave me this lecture on the air about watching my speed. You know, we're talking about the speed cameras here, but, you know, watch your speed when you go to Wisconsin and this and that and the other thing. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'm good. I got a ticket. And he couldn't wait to give it to me. And, he was all over me on that one. And there was a time, too, when at Wrigley Field, when the Cubs would make single-day tickets or the single-game tickets available, there was a wristband situation where they would pick a number out of the drum, and that's where the numbers would start as far as what wristband you had. So if they picked up number 199, number 199 was first in line, number 200 was next, number 201. And for some reason, Bob could not understand the concept of when to show up and who to show up and right, what number. It was like playing a game of duck, duck, goose, and you just kept running around the circle because it just kept going. But it was some of the funniest stuff ever.
You probably can relate to this. Like, if he didn't understand something, he would pause, and just, like, he wouldn't turn his whole body. He would just, like, crock his head over at you, like, what in the hell are you talking about? He would look at you, and there was dead air, nothing going on.
Yeah.
And that's when the flop sweat started.
Oh, it was hilarious.
I had a similar situation with them.
Okay, so help me understand this now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying, man. I'm trying.
Oh, I can feel that.
Yeah.
Terror.
But the weirdest, the strangest thing was the day that he had passed away. I wasn't here at the station during the day, but there was just something that told me I needed to be here in the afternoon or the evening.
Wow.
And I think a lot of people felt the same way, because there was a gathering of people in the old master control right by the studio.
Right.
People that weren't working that day, but people that had known Bobby for, you know, anywhere from, like me, I only knew him a year, but there were other people that had known him 25 plus that just felt the need to be there. And it was the strangest thing, because I was at my parents' house when it became official, and I drove in from the suburbs.
Yeah,
and I
said,
I got
to
be
with your, you wanted to be with your radio family.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember. I mean, I was here in the office, you know, all the time back then, because I was doing commercials. As I say, we had heard that there had been a plane crash, and Randy Salerno, who used to be on WGN TV, he also passed away in a very tragic way in a snowmobile accident. But he had called me and said, had I heard anything about Bob being killed in a plane crash? And at that point, I hadn't heard anything yet. So I said, no, if I find anything out, I'll let you know. And so I went out into the office, and people are openly wailing, you know, that we had all kind of gathered in different places in the station, groups of people, 20, 30 people, all in tears, some literally curled up in a ball on the floor. It was the most unbelievable, you know, and I guess expected thing that Bob was, you know, Bob, we felt like Bob was part of our family also. He was part of our radio family. But, you know, we worked with him every day. We were with him every day. So, you know, it hit us especially hard. This was even before Spike Odell, you know, I don't know how he got through that show where he had to go on the air to make the announcement that Uncle Bobby had passed away. It was horrible. But I had a similar situation as you did, Andy, where, you know, because I was doing commercials back then, and I had recorded a commercial for some motorcycle company, you know, so I put like some motorcycle sound effects. It was a commercial for Harley Davidson's, which Bob loved and drove. And I had put some sound effects under the commercial that apparently were not Harley Davidson sound effects. And Bob called me in onto the show live. Mr. Richards, does this sound like a Harley Davidson to you? And he played the commercial, and it was like, putt, 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 putt.
It was a moped.
Yeah, that's what it was. Probably what it was. He just reveled in raking me over the coals with that. And I've told the story many times of how he called me in the morning before he passed away. There was a TV movie on called Mary and Rhoda. It was a reunion of Mary Tyler Moore and Valerie Harper in their old Mary Tyler Moore Show characters. And he asked me to come in to review it and tell him a little about it. We talked about it. And at some point I said, you know, this movie really is about how your life doesn't turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out. And, you know, just the way he would, like, just cock his head over at you, like a light bulb went off in his head. He goes, boy, that's for sure. You know, how your life doesn't turn out the way that you think that it is. It was the end of the show. He said, I want to talk about this more tomorrow. And he came in the next morning, did his final show, and he did talk about, you know, all these very profound things about how your life doesn't turn out the way that you think it will, and how, you know, the things I hope I'd learned, you know, by the time I pass away, this very, you know, now very prophetic information. But today would have been Uncle Bobby's 79th birthday. And I want to remember Bob for why we loved him, for his ridiculous sense of humor, his contagious laugh. He was absolutely just one in a million.
Diane has a technical type question, Tom, and since you are the most technically impaired person I know, I thought maybe you'd like to try to go with this.
Yeah, you've come to the
second
right guy.
Hi, Di.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, I'm not too good.
What is your problem?
Well, I want you to hear this noise. Do you hear it?
Oh, yeah, sure do.
Do you?
Yeah, what is that?
I got woken up this morning with, it's in my VCR.
Your VCR?
Yes, and we have no clue. I turned the power off and everything, and it's still going. And I can't find my book on it.
Did you, is there a tape in it?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Take the tape out.
Yeah, take the tape out.
I'm serious.
No, seriously, take the tape out.
Try that.
Go ahead, take the tape. We'll wait.
Eject the tape.
Yeah.
Do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That sounds like an alarm clock.
I know. And there's no alarm on this that I know of.
Is the tape out?
The tape's out.
Still doing it?
Uh-huh.
Well, sledgehammer comes to mind.
Pardon me?
Sledgehammer. You know what? Unplug the Hummer.
I did? Oh,
unplug it. Not turn it off. Unplug it.
Unplug it.
Okay.
And then plug it back in.
Yeah.
I got to kind of crawl under here to get it.
Oh, my goodness.
Your foot's not in a bucket of water or anything, is it?
No.
Okay. Well,
my husband's already put my head in one.
Well, why you? It's not your fault, is it, or is it?
I unplugged it.
Yeah.
Now it can't still be beeping with no power going into it.
I swear it is.
You unplugged it and it's still beeping?
Yes.
You unplugged the wrong thing.
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I must have.
Yes, you did.
You had to.
Hey, Brian.
Brian, you idiot.
Brian.
Get over there. Brian.
They're hollering at you.
Come on, chip in, Brian.
Brian, that's the wrong cord.
Poor Diane is over there crawling.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. It is unplugged, but the TV's still on. That's what I'm looking at. The TV's still on. But
well, where is the noise coming from specifically?
It's coming from... Where's this noise coming from, Russ?
Unplug the whole thing.
Go to the fuse box in your home.
You know what? I'll hold it. I'll bet you Pete has the right idea. I bet
wait.
You.
Whoop. Wait a minute.
Okay.
You ain't got it.
Somehow things are not going real well at Diane Bryan's
place. I have to tell you something.
Yeah? What?
No, I'm totally embarrassed.
Yeah.
I have unplugged it. We have been up here for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Trying to unplug this sucker.
Yeah.
And you know what it is?
What?
There's a clock right above it.
Well, that's what it sounded like, an alarm clock.
I know, it sounds like a clock alarm, alarm clock.
Diane.
Now, turn the alarm off.
He just did. I have never used this clock. The
Diane.
Ladies were here yesterday.
Are you all right, Diane?
No. It's right above. I have it.
Yeah, all right. Okay,
there you go.
Diane, let her rip.
Let her rip. Listen. Good morning.
Hey, another technical problem solved. Okay.
Oh, man, that laugh, that sense of humor, the great Bob Collins. And the great Johnny Putman joining us on the phone line also. Hi, Johnny.
Good morning, Dane.
Oh, my gosh. So nice to hear your voice.
Well, thank you.
How are you?
Good. Really good. We're in Illinois. We haven't been to Florida since 2019.
That's
so
crazy.
We've been hunkered down here and staying healthy, and it's all good.
That's crazy.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. But you were part of Bob's show doing the traffic for a long time. And then adjacent to him, when you and Steve got together doing the all night show here on WGN,
right.
You must have some amazing memories of Bob.
I do. I sure do. I was with Bob on his team. He said, now don't say you're just my traffic person, because, see, that gave him the excuse to come to me and say, do our trivia for today, or what you got for the show, or what didn't you use on your show overnight? He was wonderful about that. Sharing. Let's all share. And I was with him for 7 years, and we did the lead-in to Bob, and some of the most fun radio ever, in my opinion, was our crossover with him. But since it is his birthday, I wanted to share with you what was his 60th birthday. You may have been there, because it was going to be a big event until management came to us and said, you know, maybe we shouldn't make a big deal about the fact that he's going to be 60. You know, like pretend like he's 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
So Steve and I decided that we would celebrate in such a way that Bob would never forget it. So he had a list of things that he hated in this world. Do you know off the top of your head what any of those things are? Things that he hated.
I know he hated every morning his wife Christine would pack him some snacks and vegetables and, you know, like things to snack on during the show. And every single morning that bag of vegetables was left in the studio. I hope I'm not busting him with Christine after all these years. I think like a statute of limitations may have expired by now on that.
Well, he hated clowns.
Oh,
he hated
really?
Mimes. So in the 6 o'clock hour, we were in the showcase studio because his birthday happened to be on a Friday morning. And we paid and arranged for a troop of clowns to come up and lower Wacker. And in the dark, stand on Michigan Avenue and just glare at him. And he would turn off his microphone, and you can only imagine the things that he would say about these damn clowns that are outside looking at me. Why are they looking at me? So they went away, and he didn't think anything about it until the next hour rolled around. The sun is coming up, and up from Lower Wacker come a troop of mimes. We hired mimes, and they stood in front of the window, and they looked at him. Now he's beginning to think, this is really getting ugly. But the cherry on the cake that day was he always made fun of Adrian Zmed, the Chicagoan, the actor.
At that time,
he was on T.J. Hooker.
Yeah.
He happened to be in town, and we called him and told him it was Bob's birthday and what we wanted to do. And we told him that Bob teased, and he goes, oh, I know. My family tells me about it all the time. He put on his T.J. Hooker uniform and ran across Michigan Avenue yelling for Bob. And Bob jumped the window, and he's like, holy smokes. And then staff runs into the studio and we're saying happy birthday to him. And the heck was the fact that he was going to be 60, or he was 60 years old that day.
Yeah.
But it was just such a wonderful morning because we knew each hour something else was going to happen that was going to really, really set him off.
Right, right.
And then, of course, that made for great radio.
But I'm sure he loved it at the same time that he realized what fantastic radio it was.
Yes. And when he invited Adrian to bed in, he said, you know, man, I'm sorry. Adrian says, no, every time you mention my name, it's a good thing. I mean, you're number one.
He was quite a guy. Can you, I'm trying to imagine what a 79-year-old Bob Collins would be like. Bob would turn 79 today.
Colorful comes to mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of technology, I think he was one of our team that was really on the cutting edge of technology.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he might have sounded like a bumpkin, but I think he had email before any of us did.
He had email. And, he had
a cell phone
and like I forget what the ancient name for it was, but it's where you could put your appointments in a little.
Yes, a Palm Pilot.
Palm Pilot.
Yes, we got them for Christmas because Bob's, you can't live without one of these.
Yeah.
Of course, our lives were not quite as busy as his. But quick story, we were with him in a restaurant, walking through an Italian restaurant for lunch, and he had one of those ginormous bag phones on his shoulder, and he gets a call, and he's walking through the restaurant talking on the phone, and people are like, wow, what is this? They thought they were looking at Maxwell Smart from because it's such a huge thing, and he's talking in it, of course, in his loud voice. They realized who it was, and it was just one of those great moments.
We're going to update news in a second here, and then after the news, we're going to play back his classic Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
Oh, yes.
Hilarious.
And I have to thank him for putting my mother's hometown of Frog Jump, Tennessee, on the map. Because when he found out I had roots in Frog Jump, and you know what, Dean, for about 10 years, even after Bob had passed on, you could stop at the grocery store there as you drove through town, and you could get T-shirts and hats because people got off the highway to visit that town because of Bob.
Because of Bob. How about that?
Yeah. Some
great memories. An amazing guy. Bob Collins would have been 79 years old. We'll continue remembering Bob in a minute. Johnny, I can't tell you how nice it is to hear your voice. I'm sending my love to you.
Thank you.
To Steve. I hope one day soon we can all get together and go to that Italian restaurant that we love so much.
Let's do it. Absolutely.
All right.
Love you.
Love you too. Thanks so much, Johnny Putman. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Remembering what would have been the 79th birthday for the great Bob Collins, Uncle Bobby, dominated the ratings in Chicago as the morning man here on WGN for years. But of course, lots of us growing up listening to WGN, which we all did, remember him in the afternoon, remember him in the evening, mid-mornings. He even did a Sunday morning show. I don't remember that, but I'm told that he even did a Sunday morning show. So I want to say that we are taking some of Bob's Sunday morning cosmic energy and bringing it to this show as well. I don't want to make it a sad memorial, but it is sad that we lost Bob in the year 2000 in that horrible plane crash. I wanted to remember some of the reasons why Bob had you crying in tears, laughing at some of the things that he did. And one of those moments was something that's become rather famous in the Bob Collins archive. And that is the feature that he did called The Furtive Family of fine frogs.
Welcome to the Tyrone F. Gendelman Don't Call Us, We'll Call You Radio Amateur Hour. It's a delight to welcome you to our stage. Jim.
Pleasure to be had.
What is, what is your particular area of expertise?
Well, I just happen to be hosting, they're on their way through Chicago, the Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
The Furtive Family of Fine Frogs.
Yeah, that's a water thrill show.
I suppose it would be, yes.
They represent four generations of frogs.
Fine frogs.
Fine frogs.
Fine furtive frogs.
In fact, the furtive family does it all, from running the boat, the plane, the music, the cleaning up.
The plane?
Cleaning up.
Well, it's kind of, after the act, somebody has to... I've never seen a frog act on the radio, Jim. I'm a little confused as to precisely what it is that they do.
Well, I got to tell you, our star of the show, Flim Flam Furtive, will not be appearing tonight.
Oh, is he ill?
Well, he had an accident the other day.
What happened to him?
Well, I guess I can tell you about show business, seeing your side.
Yeah, I don't...
He tried to sniff coke, but somehow he got his head caught in the neck of the bottle.
Well, that'll happen to you. I realize that there are dangers involved in the fast life, as it were. Well, who will be substituting for?
His brother, who happens to be the second star.
Yeah?
Flipper Legs Furtive.
Flipper Legs Furtive, yes.
Now, one thing I got to caution you.
Yes?
They're used to performing in bigger tubs. Now, in their last show, they played at the Prince Charming Suite at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
The Prince Charming Suite.
Am I allowed to plug Caesar's Palace?
Sure, that's Caesar's Palace in Vegas.
If one of the representatives wishes to acknowledge my mention, I do accept packages from 9 to 2 every day.
Okay.
However,
yes.
Because we're using a smaller tub, they are using a safety tank adjacent to the tub.
Right. Well, I'm sure we all feel better for that, Jim.
And since we are working for gratis,
yes.
Being strict amateurs in the strict sense.
You're not paid professionals because we do have our, we have our rules here.
Well, they will be working with the lid up.
Well,
that's in case.
Yeah.
See what they do.
Yeah.
The flipper is going to be taken around by a miniature boat.
Yeah.
Which is powered by Rayovac batteries.
Of course.
Can I say Rayovac?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if any folks from Rayovac are listening,
I know, Jim. Right.
No, Freckles Furtive did knock the battery off Conrad's shoulder.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate that Freckles couldn't leap away quick enough. But
it's a new game called Squish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's going to leap through a burning hoop.
A burning hoop.
Burning hoop.
Yeah.
And I think that's good enough.
Well, I think it's going to be a terrific act. Now, are the performers, the Furtive Family of Fine Frogs, all ready?
They're ready. In fact, we've got Sam the Sagacious Seal is going to tell them to start their engines.
All right.
He was born on December 25th.
Yeah, that's...
A real Christmas seal.
I suppose, yes, a Christmas seal.
Moving right along.
You want to tell them to go ahead and rev it up?
Okay, Sam, tell them to get going.
Okay, Sam, tell them to... instructions.
Well, I think we got it going. What? Here we go.
I hear him, yeah.
Here the boat's moving. The boat's moving.
Yeah.
Flipper's getting on his ski.
Oh, he does this from a ski.
He does it from a ski. He's taking around the boat.
Is the fire going in the hoop?
The fire is going now. We're pouring a little mimosa on it to get it moving. He's moving around. He's taking another turn. He's almost up to full power.
Yeah.
He's coming. He's shaking his little paw. This is it.
This is the one.
He's coming through. Yeah. Up. He's through the hoop.
Yeah.
But he overshot the tub.
Oh.
He's in the tank. He's in the safety tank. Let's get these engines off. Let's get them out of the tank. Does he look okay? Wait a minute. Don't flush.
Terrific! All right!
Damn, I lost another frog.
I lose more frogs like that.
I'll tell you.
It's not easy, Jeff, being in showbiz.
What a tragedy this has turned into.
From my side also, Jim.
The Furtive family's in check. Fingers Furtive is playing some appropriate music on his Hammond organ. Can I say Hammond?
If anybody from Hammond is listening.
I'll tell you, it's hard to believe the career of Flipper's Lake Furtive has come to such a tragic end. It was only now that he was flush with success. His family
family has hopped around the tank to take one last look where it happened. I see Flicka, Flacka, and Flucka. The furtive triplets consoling the patriarch of the furtive family. Drink Fireball furtive. This frog has seen tragedy in his life. Go on, Flipper. You were more than a frog to me. Someday when the going gets tough and a frog won't feel like taking a leap, I'll remind him of you and ask him to jump one more for the Flipper. So long, pal.
Jim, truly a moving memorial to the furtive family of fine frogs.
You just think it happened on your show.
Are you all right?
I don't know who that guy was who was on the phone. He was hilarious, but just to hear Bob's laugh, that infectious laugh, I'm laughing uncontrollably, and you know, at the same time, it brings a tear to your eye that that we've lost Bob as well. Happy birthday, Uncle Bobby. We sure do miss you.
Beautiful.
Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Lots of you have memories of Uncle Bobby. A lot of you texting in. Would love to hear from you as well if you have memories of Bob. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number. And let me just read some of these to you, because people are remembering all this. Somebody texted in and said that the guy on the phone for that furtive family of fine frogs bit was actually Jake Hartford, who was a radio personality in Chicago. I never knew that. I don't know if it was something that was set up with Bob ahead of time or just Jake happened to be a listener. But it was executed beautifully. It was hilarious. Here is another one saying, thank you so much for bringing the Uncle Bobby moments back. I've been laughing and crying at the same time. He was such a gem. Here's another from the 312 area code that said, my favorite Uncle Bobby talent show was the dog whistle act. I do remember that. You have to find that one. Yeah, you know, the archives of what was saved, you know, and especially since we've moved from Tribune Tower here to 303 East Wacker, I don't know where any of that stuff is anymore. We used to have basically a music library vault where all the old tapes were kept, all Roy Leonard's classic interviews. But I think a lot of that have been donated, maybe have been tossed out. Honestly, I don't know. Another one saying, any chance you have the clip of him talking about the snake in the garage and the time he was so upset with someone he was talking to on the phone, he hung up on him. Well, I heard Uncle Bobby hang up on people several times on the phone, or he would tell people never to call back again, jokingly, and then, you know, do his classic whistle. 708 area code, I thank Bob Collins for Kathy and Judy. Yeah, he was the one that put together the combination of Kathy O'Malley and Judy Marquis. This is from Mary in Western Springs. Lots of good memories. This is Bill on the line at 312-981-7200, remembering Uncle Bobby on his 79th birthday today. Hi, Bill.
Hey, hi, Dean. I was 20 years old, so this is 1990. He lived in Mettawa, and I had to go pick up his car. I worked at a car dealership, and I was bringing a service loan to him to bring his car in for service. So I bring in the modest loaner, and I go pick up his, you know, let's just say radio was very good to him.
He always enjoyed driving a very, very nice vehicle, yes.
Yes, it was a big four-door Mercedes. I think at the time that car was about $130,000.
Yeah, darling.
And he was a good old boy that made out really well.
Yes, he
but,
did.
I pull up there, and he's like, you found a chili there, you know, son? And I'm like, sure, I could try some. I'm kind of pressed for time or whatever. And he runs in and brings out a bowl with oyster crackers. You like oyster crackers? I'm like, yeah, sure. He pours them on there. And he goes, I'm gonna enter this one maybe in a contest. And I'm just trying out different recipes. I'm like, okay. And one spoonful. And of course, I didn't have any water near me, and it was like flaming hot. You know. And he goes, well, judge by your reaction, I could tell it's a little spicy, you know. And I enjoyed it, Mr. Collins, and I was just a young guy with a squeaky voice.
Right.
But
I wonder if he did that
30
because,
years ago.
I wonder if he did that because he knew it was Flaming Hot, or if he, you know, genuinely was just trying a recipe out. Maybe.
And then my dad, he was a big fan of him. Always, he was in the trades and always listened to him driving in the morning. And I told him the story. And he said, oh, yeah, you should have got his autograph or something. I said, I didn't think of it. It was more of just a business thing, just
to
get him his loaner and get his card and get out of there. But it was a nice, quick, you know, 5-minute interaction. Really nice man.
He was super, super nice. Heart of gold. This kind of ties in with this text that came in from the 815 area code that said, my husband had taken pictures of the WGN staff for the morning show, and John often called into WGN. Later, we were on vacation in Miami and went out to dinner. Lo and behold, Bob and his wife, Tom Peterson, and others were having dinner at a restaurant we went to. We said hello, and Uncle Bobby invited us to join the group for dinner. What a shock and thrill. What a kind, friendly, and generous man. From Amy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
All around, just a great person, and just you could tell he enjoyed life and made everyone around him enjoy theirs as well.
269 area code. Bob meant a lot to Southwest Michigan. He used to MC the Cherry Pit Spittin' Contest in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That sounds like something Uncle Bobby would do, definitely. Appreciate the call, Bill. Right. Have a great day today. Thank you.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. This is Marcia on WGN remembering Bob Collins this morning. Hi, Marcia.
Hi, Dean. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Well, I was calling because you mentioned after the Furtive Family of Fine Frogs that you didn't know who the guy that did it was, and it was my husband.
Oh.
That did it.
Was it Jake Hartford? Somebody texted in and said it was Jake Hartford.
Yeah, well, his name is Jim Edwards, and when he got a radio show on WLS Radio.
I remember that.
Good friends of Rokan.
Yeah.
And
didn't Jake Hartford also work with Walter Jacobson, if I'm remembering correctly?
Yes. Yeah. He was a producer at CBS News, you know, producer. And then he always loved radio, always listened to Bob. And when they had that talent show or whatever, you know, on the radio, he came up with this. This was when we were newly married. And it's just one of those things that everybody loves everybody. He passed away about in 2013. His wake.
Yeah,
Jake did.
Did they play it at his wake?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, you know, I just figured I'd mention, you know.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you, because I've always wondered because, you know, to me, when I was listening to this, it's like the guy on the phone is hilarious, and his timing is perfect, and his writing is perfect. I mean, it sounded like, you know, something that somebody had put a lot of time into. Did Bob have any knowledge of this at all, or was this all being thrown at Bob as we were listening to it?
Oh, they had this, you know, contest or whatever. The talent show, and he would, you know, just take calls, and Jim had called, and he did that.
So Bob didn't know Jake. Bob didn't know that this was going to happen. Bob didn't know, you know, what the content of this segment was going to be.
Right, and actually, it was before he took the name of Jake Hartford, because that was when he was on at CBS working for Walter Jacobson, and then he had, you know, he got into through Roe the opportunity to be on the radio. So that was before he was even Jake Hartford. He was Jim Edwards. When he did that bit. So was one of the things. Yeah.
I remember Jake Hartford. I remember him being very clever and funny, and you know, I remember all that. I had no idea that was the guy on the phone during this classic Bob Collins bit.
Yeah, that was him. So I'm glad you were able to take the call, and I just wanted to point that out to
you. Nice of you to call up. I appreciate that.
Okay. We'll remember
both Bob and Jake today. Thank you.
Yes, for sure.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Marcia. Bye. I appreciate that. People just texting in like crazy on this. I remember Uncle Bobby's Fern Quimby Melrose. He would always come up with these really funny names for things. Bob Collins, 630 area code. Bob Collins did a split shift in the afternoon. He did. He was on from 10 on. Wait, let's see. He would be on in the afternoon after the farm show from like 1 to 3. And then Bill Berg would come on, and then Bob would come on again after that. When he started here, he did that split shift, and then went to afternoons when Wally was on in the morning, Wally Phillips, and then when he and Bob did the flip flop, where Bob went to the morning show and Wally was in the afternoon for a little while. But they ruled. I mean, both Wally Phillips and Bob Collins, nobody's ratings came close to. Either one of them. It was, and you could tell, it was a classic. Here's an interesting anecdote texted in 847. I drew Uncle Bobby's blood shortly before he passed away. He had been into the doctors and I couldn't find his vein. Okay. Well, that's interesting. Thank you. Thank you for that interesting story.